This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome to it, the Adam Ritz Show. My name is Adam Ritz, and we are on board for public affairs with Jay Baker on the phone. Hey, Jay, how's it going?
It is going great, Adam.
Well, I wanted to start this week with a mention of something happening later this month, and I know you've heard of it. It's become quite a festivity feast at Jersey Mike's Subs. They're having their 14th annual Jersey Mike's Day of Giving on the 27th of March. Now, have you heard of this?
I really have, and I have been amazed at the absolute charity of Jersey Mike's on this day. I mean, we talk about corporate philanthropy, but if I'm not mistaken, and I don't want to steal your story away from you, don't they take every bit of the money that they ring up that day and then give it to charity?
Well, first of all, don't ever feel like you're stealing a story, because the more you say, the less I have to do.
Well, so
if you would just want to take this one over, go ahead.
No. I just, I think we talked about this last year, and I was just amazed that they would do this, because I mean, to me, that is so much giving. You know, we've heard of many companies, and certainly every little bit helps, but 5% of today's proceeds go to a charity, and that's great. But Jersey Mike's takes it to a very different level.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's 100% of sales on March 27th. Every single penny will go to charities and foundations. The Jersey Mike's locations across the country, all of them are joining forces to help more than 200 local charities. So a lot of the charities are local to a group of franchises, not just national charities. So during the month, they've even been promoting this through the entire month. This is really a lot of Jersey Mike's love here, but they deserve it. So during this entire month, the customers have had the option to round up their purchase to the nearest dollar, or just outright donate an extra buck, $3, or $5 at the register when placing their order. And the charities that this money goes to includes hospitals, youth organizations, food banks, I mean, pretty much anything you can imagine. And then it culminates on Wednesday, March 27th this year with the 14th annual, what they call Day of Giving. And local Jersey Mike's owners and operators, they've gleefully joined in and will donate all of their resources and every single dollar that comes in to local charities. And here's some math for you, some of the numbers. The first year they did this in 2011, 454 Jersey Mike's locations raised $600,000 for 66 charities. And since then, which is a fantastic number for 1 year, 600 grand. Since then, Jersey Mike's has raised more than $88 million. Can you believe that? $88 million.
Yeah, I love the fact that their event is so specific. It's every penny from every sale just on one day, which is great. And then, as you said, the amount of money, that's a staggering amount of money.
It's enormous. And their goal for this single year, for this year, is to exceed last year's record-breaking number of $21 million. So think about that. The first year in 2011, they raised $600,000, and it's grown to the point where every year the number's in the 20 million mark. So 21 million was the record last year. They're looking to beat that number this year. Jay, you and I can do our part. We can actually go get a sandwich and help them out.
Well, absolutely. And then, I think what those numbers are speaking of is this event is becoming more well known, and people are seeking out a Jersey Mike's sub on that day. And it's a good idea. First of all, it's a top rate sandwich. I think what's interesting is they don't have the sheer number of locations that some places have. So sometimes you just think it's not on your radar all the time at lunchtime, but their food is absolutely amazing. And obviously these numbers are proving that people are saying, look, I eat lunch today. Not only do I get a great sub, but I'm actually helping and adding to what other people are doing.
It's what we've always talked about with the win-win scenario of your entertainment dollar meeting your donation dollars. So much like a golf outing where you could pay $100 or so to go play golf and you get a great afternoon of golf and a charity gets your money. This is a great way to do the same thing, but with your stomach instead of your entertainment dollar. You're going to eat lunch anyway that day.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I think Adam Rich Show devoted fans, and you and I have spoken to the thousands of people that listen to the show, dare I say millions of people that listen to the show, I would suggest to them that they just look their office mates in the eye and say, hey, I'm going to buy lunch for everybody today in the office and then proceed to Jersey Mike's.
That is a great idea. There's your Jersey Mike's challenge. If you
that
have
way
an office.
You're giving. Yep. And your office mates will be happy. So you'll have satisfaction and you'll be helping to donate to some very good charities.
Use the company card and write it off.
Use the company card. We're turning this into an ambitious project. You know, I was just going to compliment them on shredded lettuce, but you are correct. Let's expand this.
And you hit on something. The more people that know about this, I mean, I've been seeing television commercials promoting their annual day of giving. And I know you've noticed here in the last few years, their spokesperson is Danny DeVito.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody doesn't like Danny DeVito. Everybody is a Danny DeVito fan. So those commercials that pop up with Danny DeVito get your attention. And now Danny is involved with the promotion of the Day of Giving. So that, you know, that takes it over the top as far as word of mouth or advertising, having a spokesperson like him getting behind it as well. So I'm sure Danny DeVito deserves a little pat on the back as well for doing some extra promotion on his own to get involved with this donation and the money raised for donations through this Jersey Mike's Day of Giving. So everybody getting involved, all their employees, everybody, I'm sure people are working that day might be foregoing their salary for the day, especially some of the executive staff. So if you're part of that team and you're giving your time, treasure, and resources to help that out, everybody involved deserves a pat on the back, and you and I deserve a Jersey Mike sub on March 27th. Maybe I'll buy you lunch that day. Are you up for it?
Oh, I would be more than happy to receive your generosity and then have the money go to charity. That'd be great.
All right, that's a Wednesday. Mark it down. You and I, late lunch, Wednesday, March 27th. I'm taking you to Jersey Mike's.
Well, there you go.
And we will add to the record-breaking $21 million they raised last year for local charities throughout the country. All right, Jay, what else can we do? Let's hit another charity and go have some more food.
Well, we've got some very interesting stories. As you know, we love to talk about things of public interest and health and charity work, et cetera. But this was something that kind of occurred to me today. We live in a community that had a fairly large thunderstorm rumble through. And I thought to myself, you know, as we approach summer weather, not everybody is aware of lightning safety. And it's actually a pretty big thing because there are 25 million lightning strikes inside the United States every year.
Now, okay, I want to be clear on this. 25 million lightning strikes or 25 million people are getting hit by lightning?
I think you would notice if it were 25 million people. You'd kind of go, wow, about half my bowling team is missing. That lightning, man, it's deadly.
Or you're saying that it's just one really unlucky guy that's getting hit by lightning 25 million times.
Well, here's the good and bad. And yes, you and I, you know, we love to kid around about facts and figures, but they actually do count the lightning strikes. I know the National Weather Service people, they are fastidious about all their statistics, but I thought this was great that they actually count them. And there's a reason for that. They do it for the insurance industries. But even though we have 25 million lightning strikes a year, thankfully, it only kills about 20 people in the United States. Now, that's serious enough, but it ends up injuring hundreds of people. So that's the real stick about lightning, is that it's seemingly so simple. You look up in the sky and you see the lightning bolts, and hopefully your mind at that point tells you, yes, seek shelter. But lightning is kind of it's kind of the silent partner to things, because you hear the thunder, but you see the lightning, and you end up, you know, there's a lot of people that get injured each year, mostly outdoors, of course. In fact, here's the 30-30 rule for lightning safety. When you see lightning, count the time until you hear thunder. If that is 30 seconds or less, the thunderstorm is close enough to be dangerous.
30 seconds. Okay. That's
30 seconds.
Flashbacks to the movie Poltergeist. If it's under 5 seconds, then a giant tree is going to burst through your window and abduct you.
See, there you go. Well, the giant tree, Adam Rich show, that's our favorite show each year. You know that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so.
Giant tree safety. But at any rate, you do definitely want to seek shelter immediately. And when they say shelter, they're talking about substantial structures. So preferably a building that is completed, because those are the stronger buildings. If you run to your lawn shed, you might not get as much protection against lightning. And that even a vehicle is not a bad place to ride out a lightning storm.
Well, we've all had some experience in a outdoor setting where there's been a weather delay and or clearing of the stadium, and you have to leave the stadium because of the lightning. And those situations are, you know, I'll admit, you feel like there's no way I'm going to get hit by lightning. You know, you just told me only 20 people. There are only 20 fatalities per year because of lightning strikes. But, you know, I think that's a warranted number to actually take a little safety precaution. Why not empty the stadium, go into the corridors for a half an hour until this thing passes, so that you're not one of the 20 or one of the hundreds, if not thousands, of injured? You say so many are injured.
Yeah, that's the big bugaboo about lightning. And the serious thing about people that have been struck by lightning, some of them have been impaired for the rest of their life, depending on the amount of injury they receive. Because you think about this, we all know that electricity is pretty darn dangerous. You don't want to just willy-nilly in your home pop the, you know, cover plates off your electrical outlets and start doing stuff without having the power turned off, because you know electricity can do a great deal of harm. Well, that's what we're talking about with lightning.
No chance what happened to Barry in the movie The Flash will happen to you. When you're struck by lightning, you will not get superhero powers. Something bad will happen.
No, you will not. But suffice to say that, yes, as we move into warmer weather, though, lightning can come any time of the year, obviously less likely in colder weather. But the main people that should be aware of lightning are anybody that does a lot of outdoor sporting events. So you think in terms of, hey, I like to golf, or I like to hike, I'm a runner. Those are activities that obviously you want to be very safe, seek shelter, and stay inside for at least 30 minutes. You think to yourself, well, that seems like a long time. But these lightning strikes can occur sometimes as far away as 30 miles away from the storm itself.
So 30 minutes, that's the magic number.
When you're
in a stadium, or let's say you're watching a golf tournament and or some sort of stadium sport, and there's a weather delay, and they say, you know, we might start the game in 30 minutes. Well, that's 30 minutes from the last lightning strike they see, correct? So let's say in 29 minutes they see lightning, it's going to be another 30 minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and that's just a good rule of thumb. And I was in a situation, a good friend of mine was a volunteer soccer coach for his daughter's team. And some of these new rules had come into place. They were common sense rules. But one of the things that they did, because they had so many athletes out on these open areas, that this particular soccer league, if you even heard thunder, you had to seek shelter for at least 30 minutes. So even if there wasn't even a storm visible, you were hearing a distant storm. They acted in, as I like to call, an abundance of caution.
Better safe than sorry, for sure.
Well, you wouldn't want to be engaged. It would be obviously a real tragedy if you had, you know, your kids out playing soccer, yeah, and they become injured just because it's like, don't worry about it. That storm's south of here, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
You and I have always talked about there's so many cool events. When you look at the different charity events, whether, like Adam said, whether it's a golf outing, we've seen things like wine auctions and whiskey auctions, your fire department playing your police department in a charity softball game or whatever it is.
Or buy a sub sandwich.
Or buy a sub sandwich.
Yeah.
There's so many different ways. Have fun with it. You know, I look at it like this. If Jersey Mike's is going to jump in there, I'm going to eat lunch. I'm going to think of me, but give to others.
Yes, I am here to give, and I'll take another sandwich to go.
But I did want to give a big hats off to chefs who joined an Ann Arbor eatery. They had a charity to prove who has the best knife skills, because it is kind of fascinating to watch people dice and slice. And they always say, hey, be careful. Well, chefs, they're careful, but they're also very quick, and they have great artistry. So I thought this was cool. The best knife skills. This is an event that where chefs, regional chefs, go head to head at a place called Carson's American Bistro in Ann Arbor, and the proceeds will be given to Garrett's Space, a suicide prevention nonprofit that helps teenagers deal with mental health challenges.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So good for them. So good idea. And as always with knife skills, let the experts do it.
Well, I wonder if they bring in any ringers from Benihana. I mean, the entire hibachi industry is based on knife skills. I mean, that's half the fun. You're sitting there watching your food get cooked and some guy's spinning a knife right in front of your face. That could be this year's champion at the knife skill charity in Ann Arbor.
That falls under the category of you rarely see a clumsy hibachi chef.
Rarely.
Depending on us.
Rarely. Yeah,
rarely.
They get pink slipped pretty fast.
Absolutely. Though I would love, now that you've said that, I want a Jersey Mike sub, and I want to see the flaming volcano made from onion rings.
Yes. Yes, for charity.
The best.
If we can get that flaming onion ring volcano for charity. We've got to get behind that.
We got to get behind that. Hey, we've all been there. We've talked about this. You're at a store and the store cashier says, hey, would you like to donate some money to a local food bank? Or would you like to round up at the checkout counter, round up your payment for a charity? And you always think to yourself, you know, and there's actually a very well-known campaign around us, because we have a city that has a major pediatric hospital, and there's a lot of roundup for charity events associated with that. Well, those roundup campaigns, obviously, they've become ubiquitous in recent years, at grocery chains, gas stations, retail stores, and even online merchants. Mm-hmm. And they rake in millions of dollars. In fact, in 2022 alone, charities raised $749 million nationwide through point of sale donations.
That is such an amazing amount of roundup change. Almost $750 million. Oh my gosh.
Well, and then you and I talk about the increase over time because, as you said, the Jersey Mike's Day of Giving event started out nicely enough, but it's grown exponentially because with knowledge comes more people coming out to give. But that represents a 24% jump from last year. And this is all according to Engage for Good, which tracks charitable giving.
Yeah, the more common it is, the easier it is. And you just press a button or just comply and boom, there's 37 cents that you've rounded up. There's nothing off, no skin off your nose to give out 37 cents. But with 330 million people doing that over the course of a year, you'll get $750 million out of it.
Well, absolutely. So I kind of think the caveat here is this is an easy way to give. So unless you're just the Grinch that stole Christmas, you kind of have to say, of course, round up for charity, wouldn't you?
Well,
I mean, for a charitable cause.
There's a lot of guilt at the POS, the point of sale, when the when the clerk or cashier says, would you like to round up for charity? And you say no. I've been there. There's some guilt
there.
Look.
And you get the look.
I do have to, you know, sometimes my skepticism gets the better of me. And I'm like, okay, I don't know who your CEO is. I don't know what your company goals really are. And I don't know who's getting this 37 cents. So I'm going to not do it today. And Jay, I'm not even trying to be really funny. I just think, hearing the number $749 million, I hope and pray that that all of the companies that do this are 10,000% honest and give most, if not all of that money to the charities they say they're giving it to. Because if it's going to a boardroom and getting dispersed for Hawaiian trips and then 10% of it that's left over goes to charity, I'm going to be upset.
I would agree that would be troubling, but I guess what I'm trying to say is this is a company that actually tracks charitable giving. So I can't vouch for every penny of the $749 million. I guess I'm just chuckling to myself because I do it so automatically, mostly because there's a fast food restaurant around the corner from the station, and I always eat there on Sunday, and I feel guilty that I'm eating fast food. So of course I round up. I don't care if you're sending this money to the bottom of the ocean. I'm rounding up.
You know, it's so close to $750 million, just a nice round number. I feel even more guilty knowing that my 37 cents that I did not round up could have made it push this to the $750 million mark.
Well, I am not doubting what you just said, but listen here, Scrooge McDuck. If you can't fork over that 37 cents,
Scrooge McDuck.
What were you thinking?
Well, you know, we did a big segment on the show about Jersey Mike's, knowing that 100% of their sales is going to charity. So with that kind of, you know, clout or promotion or know-how behind the charity, I have no problem going to Jersey Mike's and buying two or three sandwiches on their day of giving. I just want that kind of clarity with every single touchscreen that's spun around in front of my face where somebody says, would you like to round up for charity?
Well, here's, you know, like I said, we have a very large pediatric research hospital, which, you know, is a great cause in our community. But you're right. If they go, would you like to round up 37 cents for a guy named Wally? You'd go, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what your charity is or who's really getting this money. So just give me my 37 cents.
Would you like to round up for overworked disc jockeys? No, I would prefer not to do that.
Yeah, here's a.
It won't help them.
GoFundMe for public affairs radio hosts. I'd give to that.
Oh boy. Well, I'm looking out the window, and as I look out the window, Adam, a very large recycling truck is driving by. And we all know that recycling is very good for our community, and it's a proactive thing that you can do. But here's kind of an interesting story. The mainstream media has touched on this a little bit, and you may or may not have heard about this, but for decades, the plastic producers somewhat knowingly misled the public about how recyclable plastics really are.
Really? They're not?
Yeah, they are not. In fact, this may be a tough pill to swallow because they actually track this. The company that tracks this is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. They found out that only about 9% of plastic is ever recycled.
Oh, 9% of plastic is ever recycled. You're not saying that only 9% of plastic is recyclable.
No, that's the whole thing. There are a number of factors as to why plastics are not readily recyclable. And part of the problem is plastic is relatively inexpensive to make from its, you know, sort of native ingredients, that recycling actually takes more energy, more time, and more money. So many of these corporations that told you, hey, everybody, let's recycle, they're not doing it because it costs them more money.
That is an easy math problem. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so you see what's going on. Now, here's what's interesting. The best solution would be to have manufacturers use paper and cardboard for single-use packaging, and some have. But we'd also have to get everyone to quit being so crazy about paper use, because you probably know, famously, many grocery store chains went from paper bags because people were concerned about environmental issues. And what did they switch to, Adam?
They switched to plastic.
Yes.
Yes.
And that seemed like a great idea. And you know, you and I both know that any store that you go to that you utilize probably even has a bin along the sidewall that says recycle your plastic bags.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so they don't put it up there, you know, because they're trying to pull this massive scam on you. But this was just a very interesting story. There's obviously some concerns moving forward with the sheer amount of plastic that is certainly in the food industry and the impacts it might have on your health from eating foods that have microplastics and stuff. So I don't want to tell you some scary story, but I found this fascinating that everyone said, yes, please recycle, and that sounds good, but only about 9% of plastic gets recycled. So I guess as a consumer, one of the things that you might want to do is take a look at how things are packaged from the items that you buy.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, and if the answer is paper or cardboard packaging, there are now companies that don't sell bottled water in plastic bottles. They're selling their water in cardboard containers, like almost like a milk carton. Have you seen those?
I have, and
it's
that makes sense.
A box of water. You can get a box of water now instead of a plastic bottle of water.
Well, you probably have known. You've seen a lot of light that has been shed on the plastic bottle situation, yeah, because sadly, most of the plastic of the world ends up where? In the ocean.
In the ocean.
Yes.
All right.
So there you go. Sorry, I'm stopping on a downer note.
No, that's great. We're talking about boxes of water. I mean, there's some radio shows end up talking about boxes of wine. We're going to end talking about boxes of water. So,
see?
Jay, thank you so much. All our listeners, we can't do it without you. Thanks for climbing aboard with us. You can learn more about the show on our website. Even listen to previous episodes in podcast form. The website is adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.